Ready to jump in? All right, grab Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Coming down.
All right, so Luke chapter 14. We are still taking our break from the book of Romans. Looking at this counting of the cost, and that's what I love about this all church retreat as well is, you know, the crucified life and carrying that over into this. The whole time I'm hearing these messages and hearing the preaching and teaching, I'm like, yep, going to be talking about that. Or, yep, just talked about this. And, oh, yeah, we're going to look at that reference or do this. It's just like, Lord, you're confirming time and time again that this is where we need to be. This is what we need to be looking at. I was talking with Pastor Brandon Briscoe. I was coming down in just a couple weeks and kind of laying out where we've been, where we're headed. And he goes, oh, let me just tell you where I'm going to be. I'm not telling you where we're going to be, but he's telling me where he's going to be. I'm like, oh, it's almost like God designed it. It's almost like God just planned it out. This is pretty cool. So we're in Luke chapter 14. We covered verses 25 and 26 last week, and I was pretty ambitious, I think, for this week. I have a little longer message, and I was hoping to get through it all. I can tell you right now that it's not going to happen. And so we will pick it up next week here in just a little bit. But so we just added a week to our schedule, but that's all right. We'll figure it all out. So in Luke chapter 14, let's just read verses 25, 26, and 27. That's all I want to do is cover those three verses. Just right now we'll pray and we'll dive in to see what God has for us. All right. So is everybody there? Say amen. It says, and there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So that's where we're at, right? John chapter 14. Just those three verses. I really wanted to get all the way to verse 33. I don't think that's going to happen today. That'd be kind of weird if we did get there today and the last service didn't get there. So it'd be kind of weird. So we better stop here in just a few minutes. But here's the deal. I just want us to see two phrases I think that are very interesting. In verse 26, he says, if any man come to me. You see that? See that in verse 26? If any man come to me, and hate not it. And he goes on and lists all this family and all these relationships. And then look at verse 27. And so he's not done. He takes this the next step further. He says, okay, here's all this to be true. And then verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross. And what's the next phrase? Come after me. So verse 26, come to me. Verse 27, not just come to me, but come after me. And so everywhere we go, no matter where you are in Scripture, no matter where Jesus is moving, there's always two groups of people around Jesus. What are the names of those two groups? You have the multitudes and the disciples, right? No matter where you go, wherever Jesus is, there's always the disciples, those that are following him, and the multitude, those that are just hanging around, those just on the outskirts. Now, here's what's interesting is they're always at the same place, but they're not at the same place. Does that make sense? So disciples are following him. The multitudes are just hanging around him. The multitudes are interested in getting fed, being healed, all those things. No, the disciples said, no, I want to follow you wherever you go. Right? So that's what's happening in verses 25, really all the way to verse 33, is that Jesus is introducing what discipleship looks like, and here's what it costs, and he's inviting the multitudes to become a disciple. And just like we looked at last week, some of them did. Praise the Lord. But the majority of them went back home to the recliners. The majority of them went right back home and worried about their everyday schedule, exactly what Taylan was talking about, just the daily routine. That's just what they went right back to. Give me a little Jesus, give me a whole lot of routine. Give me a little bit of Jesus, a whole lot of routine. Maybe that just described your life. Did that just describe your life? A whole lot of routine with a little bit of Jesus. Well, the disciples are the exact opposite of that. They threw routine out the window and says, give me everything to do with Christ. Give me Jesus. And so Jesus says in verse 25, he says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man, come to me. There's a whole lot of people coming to Jesus. And hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. So, here's the deal. So today, here we're going to answer just one question, one simple question, one main point today. Here it is. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you really willing to count the cost to follow Jesus? And I think a lot of people say, well, I already have counted the cost. No. We're going to look at an example here in just a little bit. Have you really counted the cost? Are you willing to count the cost to follow Jesus? And the second question we're going to answer, or we're going to ask next week, are you willing to pay the price? Because it's one thing to count the cost. It's a whole other thing to pay what it costs. Amen? So that's where we're going to be heading this week and next week. I wanted to do that all today, and not a chance. So we'll get to that second question next week. And that's cool. That's going to be all right. But I did want you to see these two phrases. This come to me, this come after me. Because everyone in this room, you're doing one of those two phrases this morning. When you came to church, some of us in the room just wanted to come to Jesus. But there's some in the room that says, you know what? I'm coming after Jesus. I'm following him with my life. Which one are you? Are you in the multitudes, or are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Because here is what it's going to cost. Here's what it's going to take. He tells you in verse 26, you're going to come to me? Well, then you got to hate your father, your mother, and you list all this deal. It means every relationship has to be on the table. Amen? Every relationship. So that's part of the cost. Oh, you want to follow Jesus? Well, let me tell you what it cost these disciples. They sacrificed all the relationships to follow him. They sacrificed all the relationships to follow me. That's what it's going to take. All your relationships have to be on the table. You got to be willing to lay them all down. You have to be. Must. Listen, here's the deal. You have, let me just use Jason and Kathy for a moment as an example. Jason's always like, I don't know where this is going. You're really not going to like where this is going. What if one day Jason says, Kathy, I'm tired of this Jesus stuff. I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of ministering. I'm just tired of following because it's just too hard. I'm quitting. I'm not serving Jesus anymore. You know what Kathy's response? I already know what her response is going to be. As the tears are pouring down her face, I love you. I'll be there to support you, and I'm going to pray for you, but I'm still going to serve Jesus. I'm still going to be praying. I'm still going to be serving. I'm still going to be making disciples. I'm still going to be doing all that. And if one day Kathy says, Jason, I love you, but I'm done. I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't want to serve the Lord anymore. Jason's going to, with tears down his eyes, say the exact same things to his bride. I know that because I know these two. Unfortunately, that's not true in a lot of people's lives. Because their spouse isn't serving Jesus, they're not going to serve Jesus. Because their kids aren't serving Jesus, they're not going to serve Jesus. Because of this or that, whatever, we allow relationships to hold us back. And Jesus is going, wait a second. I'm not asking you to go home and tell your wife or tell your kids or to tell your or to tell your to your mother-in-law that you hate their guts and you don't want anything to do with them anymore. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you're going to follow me, and at any point one of these relationships begin to hold you back, cut the cord. Let it go. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take to follow the Lord. I'm still going to serve the Lord. I'm still going to serve Jesus. Why? Because every relationship is on the table. That's what it means to count the cost. Now, I'm not saying go get divorced. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying if they're not going to serve Jesus, they're not going to serve the Lord. Don't let it hinder you. Amen? Don't let it stop you. Don't let it keep you back. You're still going to serve the Lord. And let me just tell you, that'll be the biggest testimony that a relationship with Christ is really real. Is that you're not willing to turn your back on the Lord when things are hard and when things are tough. They may be bouncing. They may be saying, you know what, I want nothing to do with Jesus. And yet you still have a walk with God. Let me tell you, that is driving them insane. The Spirit of God is working on their hearts. I'm just telling you, that is the truth. That is the truth. So, man, we have all kinds of believers that are addicted to these relationships that pull them away from the ministry. Well, what if instead of that, we were addicted to the ministry so that God would give us biblical relationships? What if we just flipped that up on his head? What if we just did that? That's what Jesus is saying in verses 25 and 26. So he says, you want to come to me? That's awesome. Here's what it's going to take. And verse 27. It's not just this. I mean, that sounds drastic enough. That sounds hard enough. But then in verse 27, he says, and whosoever, I love that, the whosoever of that verse. He says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is interested in one-on-one relationship, isn't he? He's interested in having a relationship with you, whosoever. Then he says, okay, that's how you met me, and the whosoever believeth. Now it's whosoever will bear his cross. Will follow after me. Come after me. So come to me, verse 26. Come after me, in the verse 27. If you're not willing to do that, then you cannot be my disciple. All right, so that means every relationship is on the table, but that also means that my relationship with myself is on the table. That's what he's saying right there. If you're not willing to bear your own cross, if you're not willing to die to yourself, then Jesus says, you can't have any part of me. You can't have any part of me. And so when he says you're going to bear your cross, you're going to bear his cross, he's telling you a couple things. The first one is simply this, that you're going to need it. The reason he asks his disciples to bear a cross because they're going to need the cross. But he also is telling them bear a cross because you're going to use the cross. You need a cross and you're going to use the cross. So why do you need the cross? Very simple. Very simple. I cannot be like Christ by being like me. Amen. Amen. It is not possible. Evelyn cannot be Christ-like by being Evelyn-like. It doesn't work. Ty can't be Christ-like by being Ty-like. It doesn't work. We need a cross. We need the cross. We must die to ourselves. Why? Because he hung on the cross. He expects his disciples to do the same. That's why Paul says, I die daily. He says, you need a cross. That's why I'm asking you to pick it up and follow me. Amen? That's exactly why. So here's the deal. What does that mean? All right, so I'm sacrificing every relationship, verse 26, but verse 27, I got to sacrifice my relationship with me because I love me. I love me some me. Amen? I like me time. I like my show. I like my sports. I like my clothes. I like my food. Stay off my plate. I don't like that because I love me. What do I need a cross? I need a cross. Because, listen, true disciples are not interested in making a life for themselves. True disciples are interested in following Jesus, who is their life. Did you get that? I'm not so sure we got that. Because what he just said here is that true disciples aren't interested in making a life for themselves. They're interested in following Jesus, who is their life. So many times we get wrapped up in getting the degree, chasing a degree, a piece of paper that we hang on a wall. Why? Well, so that I can get a good job and pay student loans for the rest of my life. That's why. Well, what's the point? Well, now I've got a bachelor's degree, or I've got a master's, or I've got a doctorate. Well, congratulations. How does that help you follow Christ? Because if the whole goal is to get a paycheck, Now you're no longer just pursuing an education. Now you're pursuing a career. Is there anything wrong with having a career? Is there anything wrong with having an education? No. But there's a huge issue with a career and an education having you. massive issue with that. No doubt about it. Do you identify, how do you identify yourself? Well, I'm a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a cop. Does it matter? Why do we have careers? To get paid. Amen? Honestly, can we just be honest? We get careers to get paid. Some of you change careers because you want to get paid more. I mean, that's the truth. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. You're worse than an infidel. You don't provide for your own home. I get all of that. But why do you have a career? It's to fund the home and fund the ministry. It's not so you feel better about yourself because you are working your way up the ladder. That's not why we get careers. Amen? What about our hobbies? We all got hobbies. Some of them are a little bit, some are more like golf and fishing. Some of you run. I don't understand you. I don't get it. I don't understand it. More power to you. I will watch. I'm a watcher. That's my hobby. I watch. I'll watch you run. Why do you have a hobby? Well, so I can escape, so I can get away, so I can do this. Okay. What if we use our hobby as a mission field to reach people for Christ? But too many times we know we want to have Jesus. We want to have Jesus in our career. We want to have Jesus in our education. We want to have Jesus in our hobby. It doesn't work like that. No, I want to have Jesus. And at the moment my career gets in the way, time for a new career. Amen? But Tony, you don't understand. I went to school for that. Okay, the moment you're following Jesus, but the moment that education gets in the way, I'm quitting. I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, my daughter's in here. I don't know if my son's in here or not. Let me just say this. College isn't for everybody. College isn't for everybody. Now, some parents are freaking out. What are you going to say? I want my kid to go to college. Why? For real, why? College isn't for everybody. There are such things as trade schools. There are such things as other ways about going. Have you considered not doing school so you can do Bible Institute? Maybe God's calling you to do something else. Are you willing to follow the Lord? No. Educations are good as long as they're used as a tool to open up doors. Everybody understand the balance of what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying you shouldn't go to college. I'm not saying that. But maybe some of us shouldn't go to college. We're so busy making a life for ourselves, and Jesus says, you want to be my disciple, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself and get across and follow me. Follow me. You can't be living your life for you. Your relationship with you has to be on the table. That's what it takes to follow Jesus. And you know what's crazy to me? He says, pick up your cross, bear his cross, come after me. Isn't that what he says in verse 27? We live in a day and age, we live in a time. We live in a day and age, and we live in a time where people are willing to kill themselves. But they're not willing to die to themselves. I can't grasp that. Why don't you just live for the Lord? Why don't you lay down your life for the Lord? But it's so hard, it's so tough. And the next thing you know, they're slitting their wrists, or they're hanging themselves, or they're popping all these pills, and they're killing themselves. But they're not willing to die to themselves? To follow Jesus? I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. I can't grasp believers willing to kill themselves, but they're not willing to lay down their lives to follow Jesus. I mean, it's such a big deal today that Netflix even has a show called 13 Reasons Why. It's stupid. And all that does is people watch that show, and next thing you know, they're over there doing the exact same thing they just saw on that show. It's stupid. I'm not the guy that says don't watch TV or watch movies, but that's one show I wouldn't let my kids watch for nothing. Not a chance. Not just planting ideas in their heads. Come with me to Galatians chapter 2. I I'm off my soapbox. I'm sorry. But what's Jesus saying? Carry your cross. Why? Because you're going to need it. You're going to use it. He doesn't say carry a cross for no reason. Jesus carried his cross from the place of the council all the way to the place of the skull. And he laid his life down on it. You understand what the Bible says? Yeah, it says that they took him and they drove nails, but the Bible also says that Jesus laid down his life and he took it up again. He willingly offered himself. That's what a cross is for. That's what his disciples are to do, willingly lay down their lives at his feet. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We talked about this verse numerous times at the All Church Retreat. But I want to just get this down. Because when disciples understand that Jesus is the destination, right? We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. Jesus is the destination. Where does God want me 10, 15 years from now? Right on his heels. That's where he wants you. Following him. It doesn't matter what town, what career, what relationship. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to follow Jesus wherever he leads. And so when they understand that Jesus is the destination, that means they're going to follow him wherever that he may go. Right? That means that I got to be willing to go. And if I'm in the way, then I got to go. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Doesn't say for Christ on his behalf. He says, no, I'm crucified with Christ. The moment you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, in that moment, you became dead to self. In that moment, you were hung on that cross. And the moment he resurrected from the dead, and you called upon him to save your soul, in that moment, you were crucified and you were resurrected. You died to your old self, and now you're resurrected a new person in Christ. Amen? That's what salvation is. So he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yeah, I'm living my life, but it's not me that living it. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the whole point. Jesus Christ rose again so that he could live his life through you. The whole time they're up there talking about Galatians 2:20, I'm like, we're talking about that on Sunday. I'm so excited. This is amazing. He says, in the life, present tense, that I, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why do you pick up a cross and follow him? And so that he can live his life through you. Why? Because you're doing it by faith. Why? Because you love him and you want to give your life. Right? That's what he says. Who gave himself for me. And now here it is. I'm laying my life down as a living sacrifice, so that I can be nothing more than a vessel and nothing more but a tool for him to live his life through me. I give up. That's what he's talking about when he says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 and verse 27, this is the cost. Come to me and come after me. Your relationship with everyone else has to be on the table, and your relationship with you has to be on the table. Now, look over here in John chapter 16. In verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. So he tells this multitude, oh, you want in on this? You want some of this? You want to be a follower of Christ? Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take you picking up a cross and bearing your cross and following me. You're going to need a cross because you're going to use the cross. Now check this out. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16 verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Look at this. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Just right there. Stop. Just for a moment. That right there should let you know that believers should not be isolating themselves from the world. Amen? We should be insulated from the world, no doubt. But we should not be making our own little Christian little communities and a little Christian bubble and a little Christian this. We miss out on opportunities to be ministered unto, and also we miss out on opportunities to suffer for the name of Christ. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's already got the victory. He's already overcome the world. You already have victory. Be of good cheer. You are going to go through hard times. You're going to be going through some very difficult times serving the Lord. How about this reference? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Remember, discipleship verse. Who's got that? Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you live godly, you're going to have to follow the Lord. You're going to have to suffer. It's going to happen. No doubt about it. Listen, following Jesus is hard. Amen. Following Jesus is very, very difficult. Truth? Listen, when Jesus laid down his life for you and I, when he took your sin upon himself, and when he died and rose again, he offered you new life. He didn't offer you a painless life, did he? He didn't offer you a simple life. First service, I said, it'd be really nice if every single morning there was banana nut bread and everything was great. It'd be lovely. I'd love to eat banana nut bread, especially if it didn't make you fat. There's I know what you're thinking. They make no fat, non-fat banana bread, but those are no taste. I need taste. Non-fat means no taste. Off my other soapbox. Man, I would love if getting saved meant that everything was going to be easy. But if it was easy, then I wouldn't be serving Jesus. I'm going to just tell you, if you're not going through difficult times, if you're not going through the hard times, you're not being persecuted, then you're not following. Because persecution always follows those who follow Christ. Did you get that? Persecution always follows those who follow Christ. That's why he says, get a cross. And when I say persecution, I'm not talking about people making fun of you. I'm not talking about your family saying they're not going to talk to you anymore. We in the United States of America don't understand what true persecution really looks like or what it is. You want a hint? You want an idea of what persecution looks like or what it is? Why don't you grab a book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs? F-O-X-E. Apostrophe S. Fox's Book of Martyrs. And don't get the new version. Get the old one that's hard to read. That's where the true one is. The new version has been whitewashed and cleaned up. Go read the old one. You'll find out what it really means to follow the Lord. Where they take a dad and they put his hand inside a door and say, if you don't recant, we're going to smash your hand. And they just start smashing the hand, and refuses to recant. Hand's done. Throw his arm in there. Slam his arm. Oh, you still refuse to recant? Grab the 3-year-old or 4-year-old daughter, put her in the door, and smash her head to bits. That's persecution. Are you still willing to follow Jesus when it's hard? You still want to follow Jesus when it's tough? That's what it looks like to follow the Lord. And there are people that are going through that very stuff today. There's more persecution happening on this planet now than ever before. We just don't hear about it. And we think we're free of it. I'm telling you, there's coming a day of suffering in the United States of America. That day is coming. And we'll find out who the real believers really are. And that terrifies me because I want to know that I'm going to be strong and get on my cross. I'd love to tell you I would. I want to. But that'd be really hard. All right, quick. Let's go to the book of Acts. You can lose your spot. Come over here to Acts. I just want to look at a few passages of Scripture, kind of tie a bow on this, because I want to give you some practical examples of what this really looks like. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, we find out something. Because following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, means you're still going to follow him when he brings you to moments of crisis. What are moments of crisis? Those are moments where you're tempted to quit and you don't want to go anymore. You don't want to serve the Lord anymore. You don't. You just want to go back home and just go to have church on Sundays and sing a few songs and do your thing. Those are moments of crisis. And you also got to be willing to follow Jesus even when it's going to hurt. Now check this out. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth." All right, so you see that word witnesses? They hear this. And they hear this. Okay, you're going to be witnesses. And we read the verse, we hear and we read a word like that, and we think, yeah, they're going to go share the gospel. They're going to take the gospel to the world. Well, yeah, hold on to that. You can lose your spot. Come over here to chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Let me give you some insight into this word witnesses. And some of you have already heard this. Just go with the flow. Acts chapter 22. And look with me in verse 20. Acts chapter 22. And specifically verse 20. It says, "And when the blood of thy witness Stephen." You see that? "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." What does the word martyr mean? Witness. What does the word witness mean? Martyr. What does it mean to be a martyr? To lose your life. And so in John chapter 21, where Jesus tells Peter, "Hey, Peter, you're going to die. You're going to stretch forth your hands. You're going to be on a cross," in John chapter 21. He reiterates it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where he lets them know, you are all going to be persecuted for this. All but one of the disciples was killed. The other one they tried to kill. All of them dead for following the Lord. Every single one of them. Now, come with me to Acts chapter 13. I want to compare two different guys, a guy named John Mark and a guy named Timothy. And we're going to use Paul kind of as the thing that ties them together, the guy that ties them together. So in Acts chapter 13, you have this guy named John Mark who has joined himself with Paul and Barnabas. He's got to be around them in Jerusalem. He's made his way from Jerusalem up to Antioch to see what God's doing in Antioch, this amazing work that God's doing there. And then in Acts chapter 13, in Antioch, God singles out a guy named Paul and a guy, or Saul, and a guy named Barnabas, and says, "For the work whereunto I've called them," John Mark goes with them to minister to them. He's there to help them out to whatever they need so that they can do the ministry. John Mark's there to be their deacon. Does that make sense? John Mark is their deacon. He's there to help. What do you need? How can I help you? That's his whole role. Then you get to verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company loose from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned" where? What does it say? Jerusalem. He didn't go back to Antioch. Where'd he go? He went back to his mama's house in Jerusalem. He left mama's house to go to Antioch because God's doing something big. And because God singles out Paul and Barnabas, John Mark says, "Well, if God's singling them out, he's also singling me out. I must be the one having to do this too." He thinks he's counted the cost. He would say, "Yeah, I want to be a disciple. I've counted the cost." No, he hasn't. He didn't take time to count the cost. He just jumped right in and says, "Because they're following Jesus, I want to follow Jesus." And it gets a little bit hard. We don't even know what they went through. But when verse 13, it says he went back home, he skipped Antioch and he went all the way back to Jerusalem. He says, "I'm going back home to mama." Knocking on her door. "Can I move back in? It was really hard. It was really tough out there." Now, check this out. In chapter 14, after he leaves, after he's gone, this is where the real stuff hits the fan. Look at this, chapter 14, and verse 19. So, John Mark thought it was hard then. Imagine what he would have been thinking when he sees this go down. In chapter 14, verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch, and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Because he's proclaiming Jesus, because he's preaching Jesus. Here's a guy who's counted the cost. Here's a guy who's bearing his cross. They pick up stones about the size of their fist and begin to hurl them at Paul over and over and over again, to the point that they think he's dead. They drag him out of the city and leave him there. His skin would have been coming off his scalp. His bones would have been broken. He would have been bleeding from head to toe. The disciples are standing around him going, "Whoa, dude. This following Jesus stuff is not banana nut bread. This is nuts right here. This is hard." And the Bible says that he stood up and he moves forward. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city," the same city that just drug him out of. He goes right back in there. They doctor him up. And the next day, if anybody needed a vacation, it had been this dude, right? The next day he departs with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that's just what he does. That's what disciples do. You preach Jesus. When he preaches the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, the places that he got destroyed, the places that he was persecuted. Look at this, verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God." You think there was some validity in what he was saying there? It's one thing to hear somebody say, "Yeah, you're going to be persecuted. Yeah, you're going to go through some hard times. Yeah, it's going to be tough to follow Jesus." It's a whole other thing to hear somebody saying that with covered in bandages, having broken bones, who's just lived it the day prior to that. There's some validity in everything he's saying. He wants to make sure that the disciples understand. He's confirming them, saying, "Don't go, don't quit. You got to go through much tribulation. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Don't be a John Mark who went home running back to mama's house because he didn't count the cost." Now here's this guy, a young guy named Timothy. We don't even read about him here. But there's a young guy named Timothy who sees all of this play out. And when you get to chapter, we don't have time to go there, but when we get to chapter 16, Paul shows back up in the very place he was stoned and dragged out of the city. And a young man named Timothy says, "I've seen what you went through. And I've counted the cost. I'm willing to bear my cross. And I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to follow Jesus Christ." To the point that he's willing to get himself circumcised as an adult so he can go reach Jews for the Lord. Sorry, I'm out on that deal. Not doing that one. So you have John Mark who jumps in and says, "I'm following Jesus," without counting the cost. And you have Timothy who counts the cost and follows Jesus. Now both of those cats are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Both those same dudes are mentioned. Paul is writing to Timothy, a guy who never quit, who never wavered, and Paul is turning the ministry over to him. And what I love about chapter 4, and bring John Mark, because he's profitable for the ministry. John Mark gets it figured out. Now, I love that. Because he flaked once doesn't mean he can't be used again the second time. And God uses him. Simple question is this: are you willing to count the cost? And I think there's a lot of people said, "Yeah, I have decided to follow Jesus." And we sing songs like that. And they're not true. We don't really mean it. We think we've counted the cost. We're John Mark. And the moment it gets hard, we go back to our recliners and Netflix. What if God just raised up a bunch of Timothys who've seen some people go through some hard times and go through some difficult times to follow Jesus and said, "Yeah, I'm willing to sign up on the dotted line to do the same." Are you really willing to count the cost? It's going to cost you some relationships, and it's going to cost a relationship with you. Are you all in or not? All right. 4 minutes late. I love you. Dave, will you close us in prayer? Now we will be dismissed. I love you guys.